Well, it's a special day for anyone who has little tiny hands. If you were reluctant to upgrade from your iPhone 5, you can now get all the power of the iPhone 6 in the 4-inch size that you know and love. The iPhone SE, which we know that this is what it was going to be called. It has an aluminum case, the A9 processor. Everyone was kind of waiting and waiting. What's the price going to be? Because, you know, we want to pay less for something that's smaller and is obviously not an upgrade from the 6S that they just announced in the fall. The 16 gigabyte is $399. Nobody wants that size phone. I mean, I guess there's a couple people that might still find that useful, but for a decent phone, you're going to pay $499 for it. Pre-orders start March 24th, and they'll deliver March 31st.
Adam, were you thrilled? Yep. Are you happy to see the return to the smaller form factor?
I'm actually really happy to see this update because I think it's important for Apple from a sales perspective, mainly because you have a bunch of people, and I get emails after every one of these events. So when the iPhone 6S came out, I'll get dozens of emails from people saying, you know, I like my 5S. I like my 4-inch form factor, but I want the new technology. I want the A9 processor. I want the latest stuff. And if Apple just had that, I would buy that. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of consumers in that space. And then Apple also mentioned during the event that for that 5S, they see a lot of people switching over from Android. And I think that's another key market. A lot of people switching over, they want to try iOS, but they don't want to dive in at, you know, $800 for a phone. So they're looking for that lower price point, something to get them in the door. But again, you kind of feel, you know, it doesn't feel good when you're buying last year's technology or two-year-old technology. So I think this is a really important phone for them in terms of maybe not, you know, gaining sales, because I think iPhone sales are at a mature point where they're not really going to go up year over year like we have been seeing. But it is going to at least level off the sort of down, the little dip that they have in between cycles. And it wouldn't surprise me if they continue to keep the smaller phone on this release cycle. I don't know if they'll, you know, bring it into the fold later or not, but I think it, you know, is the right device sort of at the right time. And the features are, I mean, spec-wise, it's amazing. So on the outside, it looks like the old one, but I mean, on the inside, it's all new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I've actually always really liked this era of design for Apple. I always thought that the iPhone, that particular era of iPhone design, I don't know, of all the iPhones, it was the one that kind of stuck and, you know, spoke to me, I suppose, more so than I think even the latest one. So I suppose it's kind of nice to have the option now and for it to not be a step down as far as performance is concerned. That's an even better deal. So
yeah, one nice change I read about too, just from a design perspective, and this is a really minor thing, but it matters a lot, is apparently the chamfered edge is now the matte metal finish rather than that really shiny one that scratches up all the heck. Mm-hmm. So time will only tell, but hopefully that'll help minimize on some of the edge damage that you see on a lot of iPhones.
Yeah, we discussed this morning that this might be something that businesses use as work phones.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Alex Lindsay said, you know, from Pixel Core, said, I will buy 5 of them, you know, for my employees. And that's an interesting move, too, because I think more and more people are thinking, like, maybe I do want to separate my work from my, you know, my personal phone. And that, I mean, the personal stuff is why you need the big screen. You know, if you're going to watch something or, you know, use FaceTime or the kind of things that you think of, the more entertainment stuff is why you need the big phone. For just really communicating fast, you don't necessarily need that big screen.
Yeah, like I could think of some ways in which a big screen would be useful in the work environment, like spreadsheet, you know, that kind of stuff. If you're really accessing that on your device, it would be nice to have the bigger real estate, as long as they're using the screen, not just blowing things up, but actually giving you more usable space on that larger screen. I could see it. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, if businesses know that their employees in large numbers do want iPhone, you know, devices, if they're being given one through the business, and instead of having to drop $8,000-$9,000 on a device for their employees, they can drop something, you know, a lot less and still give them the same amount of power, which it seems like you're getting here, then that's a really great option.
Yeah. Another, one other last thing related to that, because Megan, I think you mentioned the storage sizes. So a lot of people wonder, you know, why does Apple always do that 16 and then they do, you know, do the jump to 64? Why did they keep the 16? Why didn't they go to 32? And a lot of that from people I've talked to is about the enterprise as well, because with a lot of enterprise devices, one, you're buying them in bulk, so you want the lowest price point that you can get. But the other thing is a lot of them are under multi-device management through the IT department. So they really don't want you storing a lot of stuff on there anyway. They're going to control which apps generally are going on there. So the storage isn't as big an issue as is the price. Hey, we're buying 10,000 of these, you know, for our entire workforce. We need the lower price point.
Mm-hmm.
So. That makes a lot of sense, too. Just yeah. Needing to store yeah. that.
And Apple makes more money. You know, there's more profit margin in that. And they're selling a lot to business. Well, it's good for Apple, too.
For
right.
sure.
Right. I always assume that they want to just say it's a $400 phone. And that's why they stick with the, you know, 16 gigabyte. But obviously there's a bigger
for the probably that, too.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt.
Or it's not $400. It's $399.
There we go. Magical. Now, also, as expected, we saw the unveiling of the new 9.7-inch iPad Pro. Same size as the iPad Air 2. $599 is the price on that for the entry-level 32-gig storage version, all the way up to $899 for 256 gigs of storage. And if you want the LTE options, that's going to raise it another around $130 or so. So based on what you've seen here, Adam, what improvements have been made with the smaller iPad Pro compared to the larger predecessor? Like, you always think, like, going down right. in size, you're going to get less features, but this actually has some improved features.
There's some new stuff. Yeah, the camera on it is now a 12-megapixel camera, which is up from what's in the iPad. I think it's 2.2 aperture rather than the 2.4. They added the LED flash on the back, the True Tone LED flash, which is a first for an iPad. I think the LTE is faster. I'm trying to quickly go through all the things. There might be a few more in there that I'm not remembering. The camera was kind of the biggest thing. Both cameras, actually. The front-facing camera, the FaceTime camera is also a 5-megapixel. And I think this one will actually record 4K video versus, I think, the iPad Pro 12 inches, 1080p.
Yeah, they also talked about the low reflectivity, which is something important. You know, if you are working on it outside, or it's the least reflective device ever.
Still reflective.
Oh, yeah, and it has that new color tone thing,
right?
That Phil talked about for a while, True Tone, where I guess they've got new ambient light sensors in here that can detect the color temperature of the room that you're in. So, like, the light temperature. I would imagine this is sort of like the auto white balance to a certain degree on your camera, right? It's going to detect what's the ambient light around, what temperature is that, and then adjust the screen so that the whites are pure paper white.
Yeah, and I think a big part of this is removing blues so that at night, you know, it affects your circadian rhythms, as they say, which can actually damage, you know, your quality of sleep and all that kind of stuff. No. So a lot of apps are doing this in some ways. Now they're kind of baking it into the OS.
Yeah, the new night shift mode that's right. in the iOS 9.3 update.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's available to anyone who updates. Yeah, I think I find myself in a weird position because I love my iPad Pro. I don't find it too big. It has not replaced my laptop. But, you know, I was telling a lot of people, like, this is a great device for you because you have the Pencil and because you have all these features in an iPad, these Pro features. And so now I feel like, oh, well, those people might have been better off waiting for the smaller one. You know, but it's not my fault. I didn't know they were coming out with this. But
no, and it always kind of goes in this direction, too, right? Like, you jump in the very first one and then you realize later, I like it, but the next one would have been perfect. But there's no way that you would have known that a year ago, you know, or however long.
I'm really not tempted by this. I gave up my iPad Air. I had an original iPad Air. I didn't go in for the 2 and went straight to the iPad Pro. And even with some of the new features, I really like the size of the iPad Pro. And to me, it doesn't feel that much bigger day to day to my iPad. The other thing I'd be a little bit worried about with the new 9.7-inch is I really like the smart keyboard on my iPad Pro. I use that quite extensively. And I'm just not so sure about the size of that smaller keyboard. I've already read some reviews and people are already commenting. It feels pretty cramped. I mean, you can't do a full-size keyboard layout in that size. So
yeah, that would be a clincher for me. Anytime I've see the convertible tablets and the keyboard kind of attachment with it, it almost always seems to bring with it a smaller keyboard. And I just cannot get my fingers used to that type of layout. So
yeah,
that'd be no-go for me.
And nothing is perfect, but
that's true.
But a lot of people are really going to like it. I mean, then the 9.7 is ideal for a lot of people, especially with the Pencil. I mean, that really puts that iPad over the top.
Yeah, and I think if people were thinking, oh, that $1,000 for an iPad, that's a little bit too much. So the most high-end one is $900. That's the biggest one. And it's the biggest size ever of an iPad, I think.
Yeah, 256 is the first Apple iOS device with that much storage.
Right. So get yourself a tiny iPhone that has 16 gigabytes and then a giant iPad. You're good.
Tether them together.
Well, you can load your whole movie library on there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There you go.